You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Hi everybody, welcome along to Down the Line, our World Cup coverage on the RNIB Connect Radio Network, where we cover all the latest news and games and happenings over the last week or so in the men's FIFA World Cup. A couple of things to cover this week again, obviously looking at the England result and what that means going forward for the rest of the tournament. And then we'll also touch a little bit on our audio described commentary experiences, or experiences of the audio description commentary and enhanced commentary that are being offered by BBC and ITV across the tournament. So, yep, as always, joined here by Macker and Andrew. How are you doing, guys?
Hi, guys.
Not bad, Neil.
Nice one.
Good. I'd imagine Andrew better than Macker anyway. And on that, England with a probably quite a historic win, really. I know it's been built up and probably to the point where it's winding up Scottish people about how big and how amazing that result is. But actually, genuinely, I think it is a really... certainly an impressive result, and it will turn. We'll find out how important and how historic the result will be by the end of the tournament. But to go away in the Azteca, all the talk around altitude and the form that Mexico have there, and to do it in that fashion, we're playing tactically impressive football, but also exciting going out there, going down to 10 men. Yeah, it was a great watch. First of all, did you watch it live, Andrew? That's a big question with the delay till 2 a.m. It was a tough one. And also, yeah, what did you make of the whole fixture, the whole game?
I did watch it live. I went to bed about 9:30 to get a 3 hours sleep, and then woke up and watched the whole thing as it happened. But I have to admit, you get some England games, you know, like most of the qualifiers are quite straightforward. They don't really get much competition, whereas that's the first England game I've watched in a long time, certainly away, somewhere like, playing in Mexico, their home tournament in a knockout game, where they've actually, it had a bit of everything. It was, a really exciting game. Had plenty of goals, the sending off, and then, sort of backs against the wall for the last 20 minutes. I thought they did very well, and it reinvigorates your hopes for the rest of the tournament, really, because you think sometimes, they didn't really get much of a test, although they made hard work of some of the group games, whereas the Mexico game was a lot bigger of a test, and I thought they did really well.
How it probably goes without saying, and it's the question, probably answering my own question, but how important is somebody like Jude Bellingham to this England team, really? I mean, I've heard comparisons to Zidane. Again, that's something that will make Macker chuckle, I'm sure, in the background. But he's wearing the 5 for Madrid in his domestic football. He's running the midfield in a World Cup, box to box, scoring goals, and actually probably doing it with a smile on his face, which is maybe a little bit different from Jude Bellingham over the last couple of years.
Yeah, he's one of the main parts, if not probably the main player apart from Kane. But he seems to be ticking along nicely now, and hopefully he'll, I think against Norway on Saturday he'll make a big difference.
Yeah. So Macker, is Jude Bellingham the best midfielder in the world, or does that accolade still belong to Scott McTominay?
Scott McTominay, definitely. I mean, Joel, Jude's nothing compared to his brother Joel, so,
I bet. Yeah, no, it's exciting, and obviously looking ahead to this weekend, England-Norway, Haaland up against a lot of his Premier League teammates and opponents, quite an exciting, and Odegaard, of course, as well in the Norwegian squad. So, yeah, on paper, probably looks like one of the easier games, just on paper, looks like an easier game compared to maybe the rest of the fixtures they'll need to play in the run if they want to go and win the World Cup. But I don't think it will be easy at all. Haaland versus Kane as well, which will be an incredible battle. So yeah, hopeful for that one, Andrew.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be a good game. I think there, when you look at all of the teams left, there's a lot of Premier League players involved in every squad. So I think they're probably going to be quite evenly matched. But I think England will have they'll have the upper edge over Norway. Mm. Although I could see it being one of the games that goes to extra time. I think there'll be a tight unit. But Haaland doesn't always turn up, for Man City, he doesn't turn up every week. And, he might have one of those games where he's a bit quiet.
Yeah, really contrast the styles between him and Kane. But, I mean, two strikers that are as good as you're going to get. And you could debate all night about which one you'd prefer in a team, I think. So that fixture, England versus Norway, is Saturday night, Saturday the 11th of July at 10 p.m. And the winner of which would play one of Argentina or Switzerland, which is a Sunday afternoon game as well. So yeah, that will make up the semi-final, which will be played on the Wednesday night. So yeah, important, if England go through, it will be Wednesday that they'll play, Wednesday the 15th of July. The first semi-final will be on the Tuesday night, with the final being on the Sunday the 19th. So another talking point to cover over this World Cup is, of course, around audio description commentary and the enhanced commentary offering, which is obviously important and particularly important in our conversation, and the folks that will be likely listening to this conversation, who hopefully they know about the enhanced commentary and the audio description that BBC and ITV are offering. If they don't, then essentially turn on your audio description through the accessibility settings on your TV and you'll have access to the ITV version, which is your more traditional audio described specific for people with visual impairments commentary, whereas BBC have trialled a little bit of a different approach to it, where they're tuning in their accessible commentary, their enhanced commentary, to their radio. So their BBC Five Live radio commentators will then come through the TV or through the iPlayer app and whatever device you're using. I've tried it myself. I know Mark and Andrew, you guys have tried it. I've been fairly impressed, talking particularly for the BBC alternative enhanced commentary that they're offering. Yeah, I'll start off, Andrew, for you. I know you tried it the other night by mistake, but actually you seem to enjoy it.
I did, yeah. I do prefer. I prefer listening to the radio anyway, but with... You know, I suppose I can't really see much of the screen, but it's nice to have something to look at as well as listen. But I prefer the commentators for the Mexico game were better on the radio than the telly, so I did enjoy that. And then I can't remember what game it was I watched on. It might have been the Argentina-Egypt game I watched on ITV, and I thought their commentator was very good. But like you say, it's more of a, you know, like this in-stadium style audio commentary that you'd get. But I thought both were very good, and it was... sometimes I don't like, I thought on the BBC you had to press the red button, and then normally when you get on the red button, those parts aren't accessible. Mm-hmm. So I didn't try. I just left it with the TV commentary, but I didn't realise if you turned the audio description on the bot, or, you know, on my Skybox, it then came on automatically, which I think the regular commentators start, and then it sort of overlaps mm-hmm. with the radio, which I think is really clever. That you know, after doing that, I wouldn't change it back.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, likewise, I've been really impressed. Maka, yourself, have you've tried the BBC enhanced commentary?
I think Radio 5 Live, to be fair to them, this World Cup, that the coverage has been second to none. Even the ones that they've done off tube and so in Salford at BBC Towers, I think it's been good actually. So yeah, and long may it continue, and hopefully they offer this service for other sports as well.
Yeah, hopefully this with the BBC integrating their like mainstream radio, everyday commentary that they'd be doing anyway into the world of television, and it being for accessibility purposes, hopefully just generally the awareness and the inclusion and the accessibility of commentary and TV coverage can just begin to grow, and actually realise that more information is better. Describing visual information doesn't detract from a viewer's experience. I think it can only enhance it. If you're doing it right, if you're doing it properly, if you're pointing out the right things, if you're making it exciting, and then yeah, I think it can only enhance a viewer's experience, whether you're visually impaired or not.
One thing we do know is we know that England are playing at 10 o'clock on Saturday, because it's been mentioned countless times, and even in sports that you're listening to with different countries that don't even have anything to do with football. So we know that they're playing.
Well, if England make it through Norway and into the semi-final, you'll know exactly when that is as well, I'm sure, Maka. You'll be told plenty.
I'm going
about a week and a half, mate.
I'm
get through it.
They'll have to start rebuilding Hadrian's Wall, I think, if they do win the World Cup.
I think so.
And by the time we come back next week, we'll know the lineup of the final and the third place playoff.
We will. That'll be an interesting one. Looking forward to that. No, nice one. Thanks very much, guys. I enjoyed that. So good luck to England on Saturday night. And yeah, we'll come back next week and see how it all unfolds.
Brilliant. Definitely. Thank you, guys.
Look forward to it. Cool.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.